Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast, breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system, here is your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast. This is a simulcast, also coming to you on YouTube now. And I feel bad because this was an episode that was supposed to run 3 months ago. And we're welcoming back on both Jairus and Jimmy the Greek to go through your questions. And so 3 months ago, before all the coronavirus situation happened and the shutdown of the economy happened, a lot of you had called in, left us messages that we are now going to finally play on the air. And this is a special edition. So we're going to run the first episode that you're listening to or watching now. And then in a couple more days, we'll post the other episode on our typical Friday. So with that, guys, welcome back. It's, you know, Corona time is now in our past, but I've missed you.
Absolutely. I'm glad we're back being daywalkers. This is nice.
I just need my Joe Biden mask. I don't know if we should all be masks and plexiglass.
Well, we thought about the plexiglass, and you know, look, as we know, this virus is real, but the challenge is you know, now that we know this is. You know, I don't think we can run around and be scared. I think we know that people are going to get sick. They're going to continue to get sick, and as a government, we got to deal with it. But we're not here to discuss and lament on the coronavirus days. We're here to get back to business. The business that when folks had called in and left messages to me, I'm having you as my trusted advisors here to help us walk through. So in the first episode here, we're going to talk. Kind of California issues, which you guys both are here from the San Joaquin Valley, and have been on the show multiple times. But we walk through California issues, and then on Friday we'll go through the Russia hoax issues. So we're going to start right off with people's questions, and we're even going to play the haters. Going to play the haters too.
Oh, okay.
That's the fun part.
Yeah. So the haters, we're going to let them play. Now some of it, we had to. Had to bleep out a little bit of it because we'd like to keep this available for children.
Family friendly.
Children right. Need to be able to listen. My kids listen to this at night. So at least to, you know, go to bed, put them to sleep. And of course, you know, now that we're on YouTube, we're on TV, we want to make sure that we're not causing any problems in people's living rooms with the profanity that people called and left me. But you're welcome to leave profanity if you like, because we're going to do this again in the coming future. So let's start right into it. And right off the top, producer Steve, we have somebody who called in actually from Tennessee, not from the San Joaquin Valley, not from California, but called in from Tennessee. Let's play Tish Ann's question.
How can we as voters feel confident that the voting system is not being manipulated when I know some states have different laws concerning voter verification, ballot collection, and voter rolls. And we have a simple process. I go to the DMV and register. I can do it through the mail or even online. And then we can do early voting for the 2 weeks ahead of the election at any voting location in our county. And thankfully, I voted early since on Super Tuesday, a tornado ripped through Nashville in my backyard. But some states don't require an ID or registration, and they may even allow third parties to harvest ballots. So I'm just curious how we can be certain that state elections are, in fact, valid. Thank you for listening to my question.
So this is a great question for both of you because we have vote harvesting here in California. We're mailing ballots to everyone, and it's funny how this is actually still a very timely question that came out of Tennessee. And especially, I think it relates to California, which is why we picked this question. Look, we're going to have this challenge that what would be illegal in 49 states is legal here in California. And not to mention, I always like to say this, that, you know, we go around promoting democracy around the world. We, the United States, promoting democracy around the world. And this isn't something that would be allowed for mailed-in ballots to just be mailed everywhere. I mean, I think you all know folks that had this happen to them, too. But people here in California are getting two ballots, three ballots sent to their home, or they're getting ballots sent, you know, to their old addresses. So Jairus, what do you how do you answer this?
I mean, listen, you're always going to have state governors, attorney generals that are going to try to wing things their way in a particular state. I think if it's a presidential election, there's no reason we can't have a clean set of rules for the presidential election. No ballot harvesting, nationwide voter ID, you know, no ballots that are just sent to you automatically for the presidential election. I don't think that a governor of a specific state or an attorney general has the right to take the presidential election into their own hands. If they want to be a little wishy-washy with a race, you know, a House race or a state Senate race, they can go ahead and do that. But the presidential election should, if we've already gone down this road of not having the fairest and the open, the most open elections, but the presidential election should be hands-off. No matter if it's a Republican governor, Democrat governor, it really shouldn't matter.
It's going to be tough to enforce something like that, though, and the reason why is because the state's rights, and every state has the right to be able to enforce their own rules. We may not like the rules, but those rules are what in place, and especially county to county, you have clerks that are elected. So and it's not even just governors and attorney generals, but even on the local level, you have clerks that are up for re-election, right? So it's not just like these professionals that are in there and you know, they've been there for 20, 30 years. They're also elected officials. I think it'd be very, very difficult to be able to say, well, for a presidential election, it's federal and that's it. But then you're still going to have the Electoral College representing. I think it would be a difficult process to implement. But once again, folks have to be able to rise up and say, hey, we want it this way or that way. In California, and I'm going to be a broken record on this, we seem to like this. Us locally, we may not like it, but statewide, people like these options. So it's going to take more than just the Central Valley to say, hey, this is wrong. For right now, the voters of California are approving of this.
Yeah, and you know, tough. That's the real question, and the question that came, you know, obviously from Tennessee is, you know, do they have trust in the ballot integrity? And I would say that I'm quite sure we don't, because, you know, just the number of people that had called my office in this last election who had multiple ballots and now post coronavirus, we're going to be mailing ballots all over. Everybody's going to have ballots. It's not just the few counties that had tried it. We're just a long way from, I think, when Californians, if they truly understood what was going on, what started years ago is, hey, I've been in a house for a long time. I'm older. I want to do a permanent absentee so that I can get my ballot and then I can mail it back in. Has stretched you know, a long way away from that, from where we are now looking at a process here in the state that I don't think people fully grasp the long-term ramifications of everybody, us being awash in ballots. And then they used to have to be due before on election day. Now we extended that, so now they can be mailed in even after that. And then you add on to this where you can legally go and harvest ballots. I can go to knock on your door, pick up your ballot. I just think it leaves a
lot
of questions.
Even in the middle of a crisis.
Well, that's what I was going to say was I don't know how you can have ballot harvesting in the middle of a global pandemic. I think that if you were going to be able to say, hey, we're going to do mail-in ballots across the board, but we're getting rid of
ballot harvesting.
I think you've got at least a conversation starter there, but you can't have both. If we're going to pay for the stamp and say, hey, you don't have to leave your house, but then we're also going to send a stranger to your house to pick it up, sort of contradictory. So I think it's going to be one or the other is where the state's probably going to be going.
Well, speaking on that, let's move to the state and let's go to Samuel from Ventura County, which is just south of here. You know what? And I forgot to say, we're at Kahwea Brewing. This is our second time being at Kahwea Brewing Company. Very nice. And I want to thank them in Visalia. They make great beer. Jairus, you're too young. You can't have any beer.
You keep bringing me to bars.
I know. But they've been closed here. Kahwea Brewing's been closed. So we're back open. Everything's open. And after this, we're going to have lunch. But I want to thank them for having us. But let's go to Samuel from Ventura County. Steve?
I have two questions. The first one would be, what is the point of voting on elections for like the president or governor here in California? If we vote the blue, the state always goes blue, regardless of my vote. So is there any point on voting? So that would be one question. The other one is, what would you say is the role of Republicans here in the state of California? Because it's so hard to share, should we be evangelizing or protesting? What do you think we should be doing as Republicans here in California? Okay, those are my questions. Thank you.
So that's actually a great question from Samuel, because his vote actually did matter. Just recently down in that region, I'm not sure that there was a new Republican that was elected in California. That's with all the ballots being mailed. That's with vote harvesting and during the time of the pandemic. But Mike Garcia
and a high
turnout. So I'm not sure that Samuel is in that district, but he's awfully close. Regardless, he's got to be within you know, just 10 or 15 miles of that district. So what do you think, Jimmy?
Well, I'll tell you this.
Republicans vote? Should they participate?
Yeah, absolutely. They should participate, and they need to vote. And here's one of the reasons why, and I talk about this all the time, is people will come to me and say, hey, you grew up in Michigan. I can't stand the governor in Michigan, right? And I'll say, you're right. Okay, I get it. I understand why you don't like her. Let me ask you, who's your tax assessor in your area? Who's your supervisor on the Board of Supervisors? Who actually has control over bills that you have to pay to the local governments? Because that's what you can change. You can't change a governor in another state that you live in, but you need to really worry about who is representing you on a local level. And I don't think a lot of people really realize that. So I would say, yes, I understand your concern that your vote is going to be wasted in a presidential cycle, but it's not going to be wasted when your local council member is up for re-election. The down ticket is so important in every city across the country.
And on the cable wars, you know, everybody focuses on the president, Senate, governor races, but there's all the down ticket races like this, the recent congressional race. But Jarris?
Yeah, I think what you're saying is completely, I mean, just because you can't affect the governorship, that doesn't mean, I mean, right now, voting Republican in California, that gives us you, number one, hopefully soon to be the majority leader, Kevin McCarthy. The inability to change the color of the entire state is no reason to fight in places where we can still win, and proving that every day, believe it or not, there actually are areas where we can win, like in the 25th district, flipping a seat that was flipped in 2018.
Yeah, thank you, Samuel, for that question. So now let's bring it close to home, just a few miles from here, Reedley, California. Eli and producer Steve, let's play the question.
I was pretty astounded that Prop 13 didn't pass. It's pretty exciting. For once, California decided not to raise taxes. Do you think this could mean that California voters are maybe having a change of heart and reconsidering high taxes and economic policies, or is it just kind of a one-off vote? What do you think?
So the question here on Prop 13, this was something that was passed when I was just a young boy. You were, I don't even think, born yet. You definitely weren't born yet. If you were born, Jimmy, you were living in Michigan at the time, I think. But the bottom line is we put a cap on property tax here in California. The state genius leaders named it Prop 13, I think, on purpose, because we had the original Prop 13 that was passed that was a cap on property taxes. Are corrupt, just to show how bad the corruption goes. I believe they picked Prop 13 to impact the older voters here in the state, to confuse them, to think, well, yeah, I voted for Prop 13 40 years ago. I need to vote for Prop 13 again. Now, luckily, that went down in flames. Possibly because a lot of they weren't as smart and cute as they thought they were. A lot of people had forgot what Prop 13 was, except for those of us who were in politics every day. So, Jarris, you get these questions all the time. I mean, that was kind of a bright spot here in California in the primary election.
Yeah, I'm going to have to stay pessimistic, unfortunately, about California, which is sad. I'm only 20 years old, and I've got no hope for this state. You know, besides you, you're a bright spot in the state. I can't forget about you, but it gets quite dark after you, Congressman. Can I explain how it ended up failing? No. Do I think that it's going to be a no on every tax increase? No. And if they want to start pulling back on the taxes, I guess that's great. You got to start somewhere. Lord knows there's 1,000 places to start in California, but I'm going to have to remain pessimistic on this one.
Jimmy?
I appreciate your pessimism, because as someone who is constantly pessimistic, I appreciate it.
Well, you have a black shirt on with a black jacket.
But
you're the black swan.
That's
Doomsday.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But I will tell you this. I think in regards to Prop 13, the organizers of the latest Prop 13 did a poor job of educating the public where that money was going to go. Is it about raising taxes, or was it coming off the heels of Gavin Newsom taking money from the Valley and doing something else with it through a bond measure? No one really trusted Sacramento at the time to be able to take the money from this proposition and actually say that it was going to education. We've heard that before with the lottery. We've heard that with other things. It's always about the kids, and yet somehow the kids aren't getting the money. They did a poor job of educating the public on that proposition. In regards to California all of a sudden seeing the light and saying that we're in this smaller government and lower taxes, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Okay, California's got a big credit card, and we love to buy stuff. And we're going to continue to use that credit card, and we're going to keep buying stuff.
What you said was right on. It was the biggest problem was the messaging on the other side sucked, not even necessarily a rejection of a tax increase. It was more of a failure of messaging.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are both pessimistic. Absolutely. Gosh, I was with Eli from Reedley. I was thinking things were
absolutely not. Sorry.
Okay. We have you and Kevin. That's about all we can hope for now.
Well, all right, let's bring it. So that was from Reedley, right at the foothills of the Sierra Nevada mountain range, just below Sequoia Kings Neck County National Park. And then we go just south of Reedley to an area called Dinuba. It's only, gosh, I guess from Kuya Brewing here, it's probably only about a 10-minute drive. So Patricia from Dinuba.
I really enjoyed listening to the audiobook by Lee Smith about the plotting against the president. But I was quite distracted and wondered what it would take to have him properly pronounce Congressman Nunes' last name instead of saying Nunez all throughout the book. I mean, Mr. Smith didn't do it, whoever did the recording. That was my question. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Patricia. I always like to say that as long as you don't call me Nuns, I'll be fine.
I think we need to call Ray Appleton. He has deemed himself the proper way to say your name. I think we need to get him.
I just say I'm fine. You can call me Devin. I mean, I'm fine with that.
I'm sorry. Well, I guess when I travel back to the Midwest, you have fans and you have folks that aren't always a fan. And I always say, as long as you're saying his name right, I'm okay with it. If you like him or don't like him, that's your opinion. One, why you're not talking about Jim Jordan being a Buckeye and you're worried about my guy, I'm not too worried about that. But people seem to have a problem saying your last name right, almost like spelling the governor's last name correctly. You and him always have these phonetic issues. So.
Well, you know, and the challenge is it's a Portuguese name that's also a Spanish name. So Portuguese is with an S. And then, you know, we Americanized it when we came here, when my family came here. So it's always been Nunes as long as I've been around.
Has there always been a struggle, or is it just with these political geniuses that have been struggling with it?
I think it's with the announcers, right? Like just all the commentators. They don't know how to say the name. And then a lot of people think it's a Spanish name. But I do get Nuns a lot. Like, you know, when I'm flying on the, like flying back and forth and somebody, oh, Mr. Nuns. So.
Wow.
Mr. Nunes.
That's okay. Nunes. That one I have not heard.
All right. Let's go to clip five question. Let's play it, Steve.
Hey, Devin. Love you, man. What is the deal with that song at the end of your podcast? I'm totally addicted to it. So just love it and can't get enough of it. And I wonder if do you have something to do with it? Are you on that song? Do you play an instrument, or do you sing, or what's up? Thanks.
So, thank you for that question. So that was a song that was actually written years ago by a former colleague of mine from Michigan, Thaddeus McCotter, who is a great musician in his own right, and he recorded that himself. And since we don't have any money here to do a podcast, so we have to just we're on a shoestring budget, so I can't afford to create my own music or buy my own music for the podcast. So he lent that song to us, and it's funny, a lot of people really do like the song. Some people it drives them nuts at the end, but it is what it is.
Is Thad getting royalties from this every time you play it? Is he getting a couple dollars?
Well, as many royalties as I get for the podcast. So
he's got to get a better agent. I don't know what he's up to, but I got to call Thad.
So that's a no on you singing.
No.
I'm not playing anything or singing. So, all right. So let's go to. So now we're going to switch it around. So we've been talking California issues. But like we promised, we're going to take haters too. So we're going to see what the haters have to say. So let's play clip six with a special recommendation.
What's it like being such a mother sucker? Put that on the air.
Okay. It's on the air. Thank you. I think we just skipped that. But thanks for the question or the comment. All right, let's go to the next one.
Hey, why are you such a bitch for the president? Why don't you stand up for the people that you were elected to serve? You're a disgrace. You're disgusting. You should resign from office while you still have the chance, and the American people don't catch up for you. Have a good day, f-tard.
Well, that was nice. What do you think?
You've given the left something to do during quarantine. You know what I mean?
This was actually before quarantine, though. Well, can you imagine if we were taking questions today ago?
What I appreciate about the call is that when he was insulting you, his inflection never went up. He kept it consistent, never lost his cool, stayed on message, and finished strong. Good for him.
Yeah.
But not even a question that we can.
No questions.
Okay.
No.
I mean, I guess the question is, am I going to resign? No, not going to happen. I'm on the ballot this fall, and look forward to hopefully the people of the San Joaquin Valley here reelecting me.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go to the next. Actually, we're going to play two clips together, and they're talking about, I guess, where we should live or where I should live.
You are a traitor, a moron, and an embarrassment to the country. Time for you to move to Moscow. You are a idiot.
No.
You're a traitor to your country. You traitor. I hope you move to Russia and you get for treason. You traitor.
Well, I've been to Moscow a couple times. What are you guys saying? Should I
Moscow?
I actually haven't been to Moscow, Idaho. So should I move to Moscow or Russia? What do you guys say?
She had a double beep, so she was very upset. There was a beep and a beep. There was no pause right there. She was quite upset.
Yeah. And you know what I can't understand about the people who, you know, clearly these are people who are buying the hate from MSNBC and CNN and all the crazy stories that have been out there about, you know, the Russia collusion hoax, which is now clearly a hoax, as everybody is seeing. And you just wonder, like, you've been reading all this nonsense. Your party developed the Steele dossier, and you would think maybe the Democratic Party should move to Moscow.
It's interesting in regards to how data gets to the general public, and then they will just not let things go. And in regards to you and Russia compared to others in Russia, I do believe when you and I spoke a couple of years ago on a podcast that I was doing, you were up front saying you didn't like Russia and you didn't trust the administration over there, and that you were looking to make sure that they were acting right. So that never gets reported.
No, it never gets reported that I was the one that was saying that the Obama administration had completely dropped the ball and their lack of paying attention to Putin's plans and intentions in Russia.
Correct.
And the fact at the same time, they're out paying a former British spy to go to Moscow or get information from Moscow is quite funny. But thank you for the suggestion on where to live. But
Moscow, Idaho.
For now, maybe I'll visit Moscow, Idaho.
Yeah, Moscow, Idaho. Yeah, try that.
But I'm not going to bother moving to Russia anytime soon. But thanks for the question. So we have one more from the hater. I wish they would that was a question about where, if I should move or not. So let's see if we get last clip for the show today.
Well, I'm sorry if this isn't Devin Nunez's number, but he put it on Twitter that it was. And if it is, I want to know, how can you be such a sucking, Trump-loving piece of period? My question would be, when are you going to tell the truth? Thank you.
Well, he didn't get my name right.
Yeah,
but he did say thank you. He said thank you. He kept it polite at the end.
Why are they all so monotone? These people,
I'm digging that. They're keeping it, you know, the inflection isn't going all over. He was polite at the end. He said thank you.
He cussed you out, but he didn't scream.
Politely.
Politely. Yeah, politely cussed you out.
Yeah, that's the best one.
But he didn't ask a question, though. That was
politeness over substance.
There you go. Right.
And he didn't call me nuns, at least. All right.
The decency of getting your name right.
Well, I would let you know, these haters, if you know, next time we do this, like, just at least ask a legitimate question.
It doesn't beat the hate that we got when we did our end of the year program and we discussed the rise of anti-Semitism in the United States. And then there was an incident in New York a couple days after we did the podcast, and you went on Twitter and re-released the show. The amount of hate that we got on Twitter was majestic.
Well, Twitter is just amazing. It is such a hateful place. It's just like the place where everybody that wants to hate, they just go there. But you know, it's part of the tech tyrants, and it's just the challenge. And it's why I moved to Parler. So I'm actually on Parler now. I suggest it. And you know, I'm just trying it out. It's kind of a combination of Instagram and Twitter, but there's a lot less hate there.
I embrace the hate. Embrace it.
Well, we're going to – so this is kind of the first episode. We're going to go – then on Friday, we're going to have the next episode where we're going to go into Russia hoax questions. This is Devin Nunes. Thank you for tuning in. It's a special edition of our podcast, simulcast on YouTube and on iTunes. And we'll catch you on Friday.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
Wind whips the dust up and rain's pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we've kept our American faith.
Now it's not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can't fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we kept our American faith. We the people, free and strong, fight through the dark night toward the dawn. Freedom marches on. We're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.